Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18+, begambleaware.org, T's and C's apply.
This is a Game Day podcast from TalkSport.
Hello and welcome to the Game Day podcast from TalkSport, the ultimate preview of all the weekend's Premier League action. Alongside me, Sam Matterface, this week, Darren Lewis, the assistant editor of The Mirror, and TalkSport's Alex Crook, who was the man that called the first goals of the Michael Carrick era.
Rashford into the penalty area, pulls it back for Fernandes, helps it on to Sancho. This could be 2-0. It is 2-0. Finally, Jadon Sancho has his first Manchester United goal. And finally, the Red Devils have something to smile about.
We will have an in-depth preview of Chelsea against Manchester United, plus how Newcastle can beat Arsenal, West Ham's Antonio Agony, Chelsea's Chilwell pain, and Ranieri goes back to the scene of his biggest party. All that and much more. It's the Premier League's best preview, the Game Day podcast from TalkSport.
This is Game Day.
Hello, Darren Lewis. How are you?
Very well indeed. I'm very intrigued. But first of all, before I discuss anything at all, I want to get to this very, 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 very important segment of the show.
Oh, yes, you've got your microphone working.
Well, kind of that. But and actually, it's just as well I have done, because I want to say congratulations to you, Samuel, on your award.
What was it for? We don't like to talk about it.
Crook will
probably tell you about it, because as soon as I picked up my award on Monday night, he snatched it off me and had a photo with it.
I was just delighted you didn't come second again.
Usually that's a major plus point. Right, anyway, let's move on from that. Champions League highlights this week. What were your Champions League highlights this week?
Well, for me, as you say, it was calling the first goals of the Michael Carrick era, another milestone for Cristiano Ronaldo, one goal away now from 800 for club and country over the course of his incredible career. And pleased for Jadon Sancho as well. He didn't get much of the ball in the first half in Spain, but whenever he did, he was positive, trying to get crosses into the penalty area. And hopefully that will be the turning point now. And we can see the player that all the European football experts tell me tore it up for Borussia Dortmund.
Darren, who's going to be at the wheel by the time we get to Sunday? Because there's still a lot of discussions about the interim manager to follow the interim, who is Michael Carrick at the moment.
Yeah, it kind of brings to mind the assistant to the regional manager from the office. I think it will still be...
It's a bit harsh, that, isn't it?
No, it's just the description just seems so... Anyway, I think Carrick will still be at the wheel, but I do think that Pochettino will eventually assume control. And once he does, I think we'll see a very different Manchester United. But just in terms of my highlight of the week, I've got to say, even though it was effectively a dead rubber, the Manchester City PSG match was a compelling contest. It really, really was. I enjoyed every single minute of it. And it was a snapshot, actually, of the reason why Pochettino wants to leave, because City had every man pressing hard, working hard, and PSG had 8 players effectively doing their jobs and the other 3 waiting for the ball to get to them. And so, yeah, if you're of a Manchester United persuasion, you can see why Pochettino wants to come to Old Trafford.
I did Borussia Dortmund's trip to Sporting Lisbon on Wednesday night, and it was almost a bit like a final. Whoever wins goes through to the last 16, whoever loses is going into the Europa League. Sporting won it,
It was terrific. The atmosphere was absolutely brilliant in Lisbon. And two goals from Pedro Goncalves. Now, once upon a time, he was on loan at Wolverhampton Wanderers, or he was at Wolverhampton Wanderers, and they let him slip through their fingers. But he scored two terrific goals in that match on Wednesday night. What's going to happen this weekend? Shall we start at Stamford Bridge?
To the penalty area, pulls it back for Fernandez, helps it on to Sancho. This could be 2-0. It is 2-0. Finally, Jadon Sancho has his first Manchester United goal, and finally, the Red Devils have something to smile about.
Chilwell, left-hand side, early cross, looking for Ziyech. Drops at the far post. Reece James! Oh, fantastic goal! Reece James clobbered that into the back of the net. Chelsea are two up, and the full-backs are at it again.
Given away by Rooney, though. And here's Ronaldo, listen over the goalkeeper. And Cristiano Ronaldo does it in the Champions League again. Where would Manchester United be without their talisman Cristiano Ronaldo?
Over to the left-hand side of the area, Ziyech drives it across goal. Werner makes it 4-0 to cap a sensational night. But wouldn't you know it, Timo Werner on as a substitute makes it count, and Chelsea are sailing through to the Champions League knockout stages. Timo Werner back amongst the goals. It's Chelsea 4, Juventus 0.
Chelsea Manchester United is 4:30 on Sunday. Chelsea winless in their last seven games in the Premier League against Manchester United, but they were imperious against Juve on Tuesday night, ripping them down the sides, relentless with their finishing. Chilwell, a massive loss, and he may not play again for 6 months. So we wish him the very best. Without him, and he's a very big threat for them, Darren, isn't he? What will they do to Manchester United?
I still think they'll be too good for Manchester United. I still think United's confidence is fragile. Villarreal not decisive enough or good enough with the ball in the final third to hurt them. But I think Chelsea can, because they've got multiple points of attack. They're so much better in terms of their discipline. They've won eight of their last 10, and 9 of their last 12 in the Premier League. So the stats are all in their favour. I know you mentioned about no winning 7 in the Premier League against United for Chelsea, but I think when you look at the way the two teams are playing, the greater consistency is with Chelsea. I can see them coming out on top by a couple of goals.
Chelsea have scored at least twice in 8 of their last 12 Premier League matches, which is pretty impressive, especially bearing in mind that Romelu Lukaku and Timo Werner have been out for so long. Werner is back, and he scored coming off the bench in midweek. And they were pretty relentless last weekend against Leicester as well, weren't they? So there is a lot of work for Manchester United to do prior to this game on Sunday, Crook.
I have to be honest. Darren's right. Villarreal aren't a great team. They've won 5 games in all competitions this season. They were pretty timid in attack. United were poor for the first half. And I think as soon as they concede the first goal on Saturday, that fragile confidence will come to the fore again. No Varane, no Maguire. You may say in the case of the latter, maybe that's not too big a blow, but who plays at centre-half? You've got Bailly and Lindelof. Phil Jones travelled to Spain for the midweek game, even though he's not registered as a Champions League player. That suggests to me that he may well have a part to play at Stamford Bridge. This is going to be a massive step up for Michael Carrick, and I just don't see that he and his coaching staff will have the tools to do serious damage to this Chelsea team. In terms of the manager hunt, I agree with Darren. I think Mauricio Pochettino will be the new Manchester United manager, either now or in the summer. I know the vibe coming out of Old Trafford is that at the moment their focus is on an interim appointment because PSG won't let Pochettino go mid-season. I'm not going to say that's completely dead yet. I think there's still twists and turns to come. Pochettino desperate to make that move. I think in some ways, maybe by that coming out, he may have hampered his cause because PSG, we know, are quite stubborn. We saw that with Mbappe over the summer. But ultimately, I don't think they particularly want him to be their manager next season. He certainly doesn't want to be there. So maybe this Manchester United interest has come at a good time.
Michael Carrick set Manchester United up the same but different, didn't he, against Villarreal. He waited patiently for them to tire before unleashing the speed demons. They pressed well in parts and yielded the Ronaldo goal that way. It might be a tactic they employ against Chelsea, very much play out from the back. Should we talk a little bit about Reece James, Chelsea's top scorer? And maybe we can talk about the whole club of 99 or the class of 2017, the team that won the FA Youth Cup. Mark Gerhey, Trevor Chalobah, Mason Mount, Conor Gallagher, Callum Hudson-Odoi, Tammy Abraham. It gives the class of 92 a run for its money, Darren.
It really would. I mean, we talked for so long, didn't we, about the Chelsea Academy and the fact that John Terry was the only player for what seemed like a lifetime to come out of that academy. But now you can see the fruits of the hard work being put in by the people running Chelsea's junior teams, because that is... If you were to put a value on the picture that all those players are in as young kids, how old are they in that picture, Sam, would you say?
So you're talking about a picture that was posted by Trevor Chalobah after he scored in the Champions League in the week. Yeah, they're about, I think they're eight in that picture. I think they're about eight in that picture. And there's a whole group of them. And all of the players that I've mentioned and others are in it. Declan Rice is in it, actually, as well. That's not the 2017 class. I think it's a lot earlier than that. Actually, I think it's about 2007. So they would be about 8 years of age. Yeah, but they've been together for a long time.
Some of them in that picture are younger than the congestion charge. It's just ridiculous. I felt very old looking at that picture. But, you know, I think, as I said before, a testament to the good work being done by Chelsea. And I think when you look at the fact that three of their four goal scorers against Juventus, no less, were from the academy, it tells you everything about the money they could save in the coming years by placing their faith in some of their young talents. I just think that overall, when you look at the Chelsea team, there's so much strength in depth that Manchester United won't be able to cope, because Alonso slots in that left wing back position for Ben Chilwell. He is a big miss, we know that, but they were able to do without him earlier in the season, and I think they'll be able to cope until he comes back quite nicely. And as I said before, you know, Marcos Alonso under Frank Lampard, you weren't quite sure of his future. Under Tuchel, he looks a much more confident, capable player. And I think that they're going to be able to provide a lot of defensive strength, supplement attacks. And I just think it's going to be too much for Manchester United to handle.
What a great save that is from Ramsdale. It was brilliant from the England goalkeeper. Liverpool lay waste to Arsenal's unbeaten run in emphatic style.
We know we're not the finished article. We know we're not going to be competing with Liverpool, Man City, but we want to get there in coming years, and that's hard work on a training ground. And
we know what we have to do. We know where we were, where we want to be, and the best way to do it is go day by day again.
And Eddie Howe's first game sees Newcastle go bottom of the Premier League. Newcastle 3, Brentford 3.
This is an incredibly difficult assignment. Tough job. We haven't won a game yet this season. We've got a lot of work to do.
Hook goes! Brilliant goal! Callum Wilson! Oh, what an overhead kick from Callum Wilson!
Arsenal against Newcastle is TalkSport's Saturday lunchtime game. Now, Newcastle boss Eddie Howe has lost on all five of his visits to the Emirates. Will he do so again, Crook?
I'm not going to say yes with any great certainty, you know, because I think we saw last weekend that Arsenal, for all the progress that we believe they've made, they've still got a bit of a soft underbelly and they're still vulnerable defensively. I think the stats, even when they were winning games back that up, Aaron Ramsdale was having to make too many saves. And I think Newcastle, under Eddie Howe, or Jason Tindall, of course, will be in the dugout again this weekend as Howe continues to isolate. They will go on the front foot. They did that against Brentford. I mean, they can't defend themselves. This could be an absolute thriller, by the way, reminiscent of that 4-4 draw at St James's Park all those years ago. But I think Newcastle are capable of getting a result at the Emirates. So
Not being there actually helps, because he's lost every time he's been there as a manager. Maybe the fact that he's sitting in a hotel room might change things. I was at Anfield last week, and I have to concur with what you're saying. I mean, the underlying stats, and I went through them ahead of that commentary game, were ones of look at the quality of opposition that they beat during that run. We've mentioned this on the podcast several times, but also they weren't blowing teams away even in that run against the lesser lights of the Premier League. And they naively continued to play out from the back, Darren, even though they were being pressed like a freshly ironed shirt by Liverpool, who are the best at it in the entire world. I mean, I wonder what approach Newcastle are going to take this week. They're obviously going to try and do the same, aren't they? They're going to try and press Arsenal high up and force them into errors, which seem to be quite forthcoming.
Yeah, but I think Newcastle are nowhere near the class of Liverpool. With Liverpool, Arsenal flew far too close to the sun, got burned. They are not at the level to compete with the likes of Liverpool or anyone, I would argue, in the top four or five just yet. But I think Newcastle are not good enough in turn to take on Arsenal. In fact, I think Newcastle are done now in the Premier League. It feels very sad to say that, but the
Whoa. Is this a crooky, bold claim? Go on.
Yeah, it might well be.
Get the music out, Luce.
Crooky, bold claim.
Sorry, Darren, you're saying that they're done in the Premier League. You think they're relegated already?
I just think that when you look at the run that they've been on so far, it might well be that they can start to put together patches of form. But I still think with them having to wait until the January transfer window to bring in reinforcements, I still can't see them putting together the run of form they would need to, given that they've had no win in 12, to be able to stay up. I can't see them beating Arsenal, certainly not at the Emirates. So I think that run, that poor run, is going to be extended to 13, and then it starts to get tough.
Yeah. Well, they probably need 10 wins from, 26 games? So it is a big ask.
It's a huge ask. But maybe they'll spend so much money in the January transfer window that they end up with Mbappe, Neymar, PSG and Poch in charge or something. I don't know. Liverpool last week for Arsenal, their XG was 0.3. They barely laid a glove, as Darren said, on them. But this is an opposition more at their level. Nuno Tavares had the most touches for Arsenal last week, but he thought he was playing for Liverpool, didn't he? Tierney probably will come back in. Aubameyang's probably going to score as well, but he only ever scores at home. What is that all about?
I think he's a problem, Aubameyang, and I think he has been ever since he signed that new contract. I understand why they chucked the money at him after that season in which he pretty much single-handedly won the FA Cup, those performances in the semi and the final, but he's gone right off the boil. He's a bit of a flat-track bully. Not only does he only score at home, he only tends to score against the lesser lights in the Premier League. And actually, I think the senior players are becoming a problem for Arsenal, not just Aubameyang. Lacazette, who clearly wants away and will probably leave in the summer. Thomas Partey just can't stay fit, and that's been a problem only since he joined Arsenal, actually, because his injury record at Atletico Madrid was quite good. So you have to question where that's come from all of a sudden. They're too reliant on the young players, the likes of Saka, Smith Rowe, Gabriel and Ramsdale. If they're going to do anything in the Premier League this season, they need those senior players to actually start matching the work rate and the ethic of those younger players.
Arsenal have won 16 of their past 17 Premier League games against Newcastle, with the exception being a 2-1 away loss in April 2018. They have a very good record against the Geordies. Will it continue? Live on TalkSport, 12:30 on Saturday. Manchester City against West Ham United. This is Sunday at 2 o'clock. I'll be at this game as well. So City making a statement with a comeback win on Wednesday night, as Darren has already articulated, a thrilling match. West Ham need to bounce back from their defeat at Wolverhampton Wanderers. They have it all to do against this Manchester City team, Darren.
Yeah, but they've got a lot of belief, and I don't think they'll be waving the white flag like West Ham teams of the past, trying to see how much they can keep the score down. I think they'll go out to take the game to City. The problem is City right now are absolutely flying. I think that was a hugely impressive performance in a game they didn't even necessarily need to win. But I think when you look at the desire they showed in that match, you can see that they're starting to really move into the zone. And as much as it would be terrific for West Ham to bounce back and just keep pace with that top three, I can see them being outclassed in this game.
And West Ham, the fourth top scorers in the Premier League so far this season, Crook. But Antonio has scored once for West Ham since September. That's one in eight matches before the Rapid Vienna match. I mean, seven goals tonight. But is that an issue for them? Is that something they can solve? Or is this just something they have to get used to in Mikel, because he often goes on these runs?
Well, yeah, because fundamentally, he's not a number nine, is he? I mean, he's trained himself to do that role, but he started his career as a winger. I've seen him play as a fullback, actually, in his younger days at Southampton. And if you look at his career, I think he's hit double figures in each of the last two Premier League seasons, but he's certainly not got anywhere near 20 goals in a Premier League season. So I think it is an issue. And actually, I think as the season goes on, West Ham's failure to recruit a backup striker could well haunt them, because there will be times, just because of the way that Antonio plays, because of how much effort and endeavour he puts in, that he needs a break. And at the moment, they can't really afford to give him a break. What's interesting is you look at the players they did sign in the summer transfer window. Alex Crowell, I think, is still to make his Premier League debut. Vlasic is only getting the odd minutes here and there. So they're still pretty reliant on the squad from last season. And I'm with Darren. I think Manchester City oozing confidence, oozing class at the moment. I did the game against Everton last weekend. It was a mismatch. And I think this will be as well. West Ham clearly a better team than Everton, but Manchester City will be too strong. And actually, I'm commentating this game for Talksport International. I don't know if you feel this, Sam, as well. They're a difficult team to commentate at times, Manchester City, because it's pass, 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 pass. But they pass me to sleep, let alone the opposition.
And not very often do they end up having loads of goals in their game. Seven of City's 12 games this season so far have seen two goals or fewer in the Premier League. So not necessarily an entertainment fest for you, Crook.
Sam, do you know what? Do you know what, Sam? I think last season they managed to win the league without a recognised striker because Aguero didn't play for much of the game. We know Jesus is a striker as well, but you know, the orthodox number nine, that they managed to win it. And it was a hugely impressive performance to do it. But a lot of people said, well, listen, Liverpool are in transition. Chelsea changed manager halfway through. They won't do it this time around. And they still look strong this time. If they were to do it this season, I think it might be one of the great performances in the Premier League if they were to win the title without a number nine this season.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. There's a lot more to those 90 minutes than what goes down on the pitch. With the latest odds, form guides and expert opinions, you'll know the score with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
Saturdays were made for game day.
Away by Thomas, in by Smith-Rowe, and Arsenal lead by 2-0. Is there anything this young man cannot do?
And there's Isaac Hayden to volley Newcastle back on level terms. How about that?
We need to get better, and it's not just individually, it's collectively as a group and as a team.
Bittigay! It's 1-0 to Crystal Palace.
Possibilities here for Villa. Watkins continues, right foot shot, brilliant goal! Ollie Watkins, Steven Gerrard punches the air.
A lot of positives to take away. But listen, it's only a start, but it's certainly something for us to build on.
Lallana playing it into Trossard. Trossard, ready the keeper. It's 2-2.
It's Leeds United 1, Leicester City 0, and it's come from Rafinha.
A blockbusting game day across the TalkSport network.
Leicester against Watford, 2 p.m. Sunday. Ness and Dorma, Andrea Bocelli, Jamie Vardy having a party. Claudio Ranieri has fond memories of his time at the King Power Stadium. Can he make more memories with his Watford team this Sunday, Crook?
Maybe. We spoke a lot on the podcast at the weekend about Manchester United's deficiencies. We didn't really get a chance to touch on how well Watford played, and particularly that front three of Dennis, King and Saar. And if they're at it again, I think Leicester, with their defensive vulnerabilities, could be in trouble. All doesn't seem well for me at the King Power. Brendan Rodgers constantly linked with a job at Manchester United. I think he came out after their last league game and said maybe we've been overachieving. That hasn't gone down well with the supporters. We know there's been times when he's been booed this season. So if Watford are organised and they can get those front three into positions where they can hurt Leicester, I think Claudio Ranieri could have some joy on his emotional return to the ground where he brought the Premier League title at odds of 5,000 to 1.
Look, it's two Premier League wins since August for Rodgers. He's been pretty popular up until this point. And dealing with the backlash is always very difficult. I mean, is he really linked with the Manchester United job? I mean, I've obviously touted him for it, but I'm not entirely sure that they're as close to appointing him as some people have made out.
Well, that begs the question, where are these links coming from, doesn't it?
Mm. Darren?
Yeah, I think once the links began to come out, he believed that he was in the frame and there was nothing running counter to that. So, and I know a couple of my colleagues, this kid ourselves in my industry, went very strong on it. But what is quite instructive is that he has, in the last, 48 hours or so, reaffirmed his commitment to Leicester. And I think clearly...
Is that because he knows he's not going to get the Manchester United?
I was about to say, clearly he's become aware that he is not in their thoughts and that the person they want is Pochettino. And so the easiest thing to do at that point is basically say, I'm not... I don't intend to go anywhere. I'm committed.
No, I love you, really.
Do you think some damage may have been done already, though, with their run of form and with the fact that, let's be honest, if this poor run of form continues... That will be used as a stick to beat him with. I think he could be on dodgy ground.
Look, I think you're right. I think his 5 wins from the last 14 or 15 games, he could not have had such a poor run at a worse time. Because I think he would have crawled over broken glass to go to Old Trafford. But his side have been very uncharacteristically poor this season. Arsenal beat them easily. Last week, Chelsea slaughtered them. I know it was 3, but Chelsea could have scored 6 or 7. And I just think the run of form that they're on at the moment, allowing for injuries and suspensions and whatnot, but it's not been a great time for Brendan Rodgers.
I guess you have to go back to the end of last season when, of course, they were in a position to qualify for the Champions League and fell away as they did the previous season. So the run of form actually isn't just something that started in August. The rot had set in towards the back end of the last campaign.
And it must be quite galling for Brendan Rodgers because... Pochettino hasn't won anything in English football, even though he had at Southampton Spurs playing well. He hadn't won anything. Rodgers has with Leicester, the FA Cup, obviously the Community Shield. I don't count that as a trophy, but lots of people supposedly do. But the fact is that for him to see Pochettino preferred to him must be quite galling and he must be quite frustrated, as I said, given the form that his team are on.
Do we think that the damage might already be done?
I think it might. I think the owners will be aware that Rodgers certainly privately was hankering for a move to Manchester United, and maybe not that privately with some of the stories that are coming out and the fact they're not winning games. As I say, I think he needs to turn this run of form around quickly. This argument about Pochettino's never won a trophy and Rodgers has, I don't subscribe to that narrative at all. He took Tottenham to a Champions League final.
Is that a trophy?
Yeah, it's Tottenham. When was the last time they did anything meaningful before Pochettino was there?
Is Joe the final of the Champions League a trophy over a Community Shield? I mean, that is a big question, isn't it?
And Joe Royal won the FA Cup. You wouldn't give him a top four job, would you?
Would Spurs fans rather have the FA Cup or a place in the Champions League final?
I think that's a close run thing. I think to get to a European final is a massive
But if you get to a European final, it's always good if you actually turn up.
Pochettino got to as many Champions League finals as Arsene Wenger.
So when I look on Wikipedia under the section honours, and
who's got bigger honours, Arsene Wenger or Maurizio Pochettino?
Yeah, but he was there for 20 odd years.
Maurizio Pochettino was in charge of a team that had Neymar and Mbappe in it, Angel Di Maria, and basically anyone that they wanted to buy, and didn't win the French league last season for the first time in about 700 years. So before we get too excited about it, let's not make out he's the messiah. He's done very well, but you know, he also did very well not to win the league last year in France. That's quite an amazing feat in itself.
He's an exceptional coach.
You got to be really careful with the words that you use. We know you like a bold claim.
There you go, bold claim. He's an exceptional coach, and when he gets to Manchester United, you will see a marked improvement.
We all love Poch.
I am not disagreeing with Poch's quality at all.
No, we all love Poch. We all think Poch is lovely.
Exactly. So I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that you cannot compare winning an actual trophy with walking past one and not being able to touch it.
Nobody loves him as much as me. You two go and get your own man crush, all right?
I thought you had a crush on Hasenhüttl.
Oh, he's got a crush on everyone. He's a right bluesy. they've got a tough run, Leicester. Anyway, we were talking about them, I think, at some point over the last few minutes. Manchester City and Liverpool at Christmas. They always get Manchester City and Liverpool at Christmas. And this year, they've got, I mean, they are going to be the turkey in the middle of the ultimate club sandwich. Liverpool and the Cup before Christmas, Manchester City on Boxing Day, and Liverpool 2 days later in the league. Give them a break. Burnley against Tottenham is Sunday at 2 o'clock. Burnley still in the bottom three. Antonio Conte only 4 points off the top four. I'm guessing we all believe that he'll have money to spend in January, which is why he's there. Although I'm sure he studied the contract this week to see if there's a way he can get on the Advanti West Coast train to Manchester without paying a huge upgrade fee. Hold on. Sure, there was a clause in here somewhere. I've only been here. I'm still on probation.
14-day calling off period. Yeah, listen, he needs money to spend in January. I know they beat Leeds, but it wasn't very impressive, particularly in the first half. And we were with a Tottenham fan, ironically, on our way up to Manchester for your gala awards bash on Monday. And she was saying the atmosphere, actually, in the first half was quite toxic. People booing very early in Antonio Conte's reign to receive that kind of treatment. And this is going to be a difficult game because Burnley have shown a bit of quality in recent weeks, actually. You could argue they've become the entertainers in the Premier League with a number of goals
in their games.
But I really like Maxwell Cornet. And I think Sean Dyche is doing a pretty decent job there, again, with fairly limited funds. And Tottenham will know they're going to be in a battle.
Do you know, we keep making all these big, bold claims, but and I don't think this is bold at all. But I think Maxwell Cornet might be playing for another club next season. He's a very, very good left back. He's got fantastic composure in front of goal. And I know Villa are looking for a left back. He could easily play in the Spurs team, although I do like Reguilon. But I just think Maxwell Cornet is a terrific buy for Burnley. And if they're going to score, he's probably their best chance at the moment.
And Burnley's only defeat in the last seven was 2-0 at Manchester City, a run which also includes draws at Leicester, Southampton and Chelsea. Sean Dyche would love nothing more than to turn up at Tottenham and spoil the sort of feel-good factor of the buzz that surrounds Antonio Conte. That's 2 o'clock on Sunday. Also on Sunday at 2 o'clock, Brentford against Everton. Now, only Newcastle and Burnley have had lower possession averages than Everton this season, meaning that, you know, a lot of players have to spend time without the ball and focusing on what to do out of possession. How does that affect the morale of someone like, I don't know, Richarlison, for example, who seems to be toiling?
Well, I can answer that question because I commentated that game last weekend and he was like a petulant kid up front. Every time the ball came up to him or didn't come up to him, as the case may be, he was turning his back in frustration, waving his arms around. He got a cheap yellow card, which actually I think rules him out of this game.
He is out of this game, yeah.
Due to suspension. I might cash in on him if I was Everton because Rafa needs funds to rebuild that team. We know about his lack of spending in the summer when he had to sign Townsend on a free, Demarai Gray for very little money. The squad's still in need of a massive overhaul, which sounds ridiculous if you break down what's been spent in the last few years, but there's still very little pace. There's very little strength in depth. There's no cover for Dominic Calvert-Lewin. The fact that Cenk Tosun is back in the picture probably tells you all you need to know. And actually, not much has been made of it, but they've been appallingly run in the last 3 or 4 years, Everton. There's no two ways about it.
Yep, Richarlison not available, as we already mentioned. Demarai Gray set to miss out too. It's difficult, isn't it? Because they're hanging their hat now on Cenk Tosun and Salomon Rondon. He did get going in a November at Newcastle 3 years ago. Maybe Rafa Benitez can get the best out of him. But these are two of the most out-of-form sides in the Premier League, Darren.
Yeah, I like Crook, I'm so alarmed by Everton because I just think they're falling to pieces at the moment, and I don't want to go over what Crook has said because I agree with every word, and I just think as far as Everton are concerned, it would be a shame if they threw Rafa Benitez overboard because he is probably their best chance of getting out of the trouble that they are in, not just this run of form but the slump that they're in as a club. And I think that it is going to take a couple of transfer windows, but they've got to shift some of that dead wood out and rely on him to bring in the quality that will enable them to get value for money.
Imagine if they had someone like Ivan Toney up front with those crosses from wide areas from Andros Townsend and Demarai Gray. and Alex Iwobi. Should be interesting this game. Both teams have scored in six of Brentford's last seven league matches, so it's probably going to be nil-nil. Right, Lucy, hello. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Have we still got the boyfriend? Is he still in place?
Yeah, he's still knocking about the place, which is a good sign.
He's knocking about the place right now?
No. He was actually there, though, on Sunday's recording.
Oh, was he? Were we offensive?
No.
That doesn't sound like us. We probably were.
So it was like a live lounge. Did you charge him for a ticket?
Yeah, actually, that means that we should have got paid extra.
Well, no, I don't. He seemed quite impressed with your work, though, so, you know.
That's because Darren wasn't there.
Harsh, but very fair.
What you got for us, Luce? Because Norwich take on Wolves this week at 3 o'clock on Saturday.
I've got a lovely bunch of questions here for you.
Ooh.
I'm going to start with you, Sam.
Oh, good.
So the Wolves Academy have recently entered into a partnership, but with which American soccer club?
You know, the worst thing is when you said that they've entered a partnership, I was just about to say Grasshoppers of Zurich, because I know that the club as a whole has just signed a deal with Grasshoppers of Zurich, and they've all been over to Zurich over the last couple of weeks. I know someone that works at Wolves during the last international break to sort of share best practice. But that isn't
great knowledge, but that wasn't the question.
So I don't know is the answer. I'm going to, do you know what? I'm just going to throw out there. Sporting Kansas City.
Incorrect. Crook.
Again, I'll guess New York.
Incorrect.
New York what? New York what? New York City were owned by Manchester City. Wolves are going to sign a partnership with Manchester City's club in the MLS. Why would they do that? I mean, that is, you didn't even try there. You should be docked a point for not trying.
Darren?
He doesn't even know any MLS clubs.
I can't. New York Red Bulls.
Incorrect. It was actually Chicago City.
There you go.
Chicago City? Who are they? Aren't the team in Chicago called Chicago Fire?
No, that's the TV program, isn't it?
Guys, stop showing your ignorance.
Hold on. I'm going to Google it. Hold on a second. No,
There's definitely a TV program called Chicago Fire. Yes. Paul Parker.
In the 90s.
Watches it when we're preparing for commentaries. When we sat there having a chat, he put Chicago Fire on his iPad.
Chicago Fire FC, yeah. That's what they're called. That's what they're called.
Should we just move on?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, Lucy.
Right, Darren. Norwich revealed their brand new club crest this week. The new crest has only changed slightly and it still includes a canary standing on a ball, a castle, but what else?
Brian Gunn.
Angus Gunn.
A field gun.
A loaded gun.
Keep your petty feuds to yourself. What else? It's a ball, it's a canary, and it's a shield. A lion.
Correct, it is a lion.
A lion? What? A canary and a lion on the same badge? That's not going to end well, is it? It's going to end in carnage.
These questions are tough.
Well, now it's your turn, Crook.
Listen to her voice.
Who was the man who invented Norwich's club crest?
So, back in August, Crook, you voiced some pretty heavy opinions on Norwich, receiving a lot of backlash on Twitter, including from Norwich fan Jake Humphrey. He said on Twitter that you were speaking utter what?
Am I allowed to say that on a podcast?
Yeah.
Bleep it out.
On a podcast. Well, I think he did the poo emoji, didn't he? I think he said I was speaking utter...
No, he didn't.
Didn't he?
No, he didn't. He might have been thinking it, but he didn't say.
Did he say nonsense?
No.
Rubbish.
Incorrect. Darren?
Fripe.
Hold on. It's Jake, so it's going to be something else. Baloney.
No. Oh. You're all incorrect. He said he was speaking utter drivel.
He'll enjoy his trips to Stoke next season, Jake Humphrey, I'm sure.
Just don't have a go at him. Don't have a go at him. He's allowed to defend his club. You defend your... Oh, no, you don't, really. No, you stick the boot into yours. Right, Lucy, what does that mean the scores on the doors are?
Darren is in the lead with 11 points. Crook, you're second with 10.5 and Sam, you're third with 10.
Yeah, well... Brighton against Leeds United is 5:30 on Saturday, live on Talk Sport. Brighton have gone for a bit of a sticky period, haven't they? And Leeds United certainly in the middle of one of those. Okay, so what is the mood on the South Coast like, Alex?
I spoke to Tarek Lamptey during the week, actually, and he was fairly upbeat, fairly grounded individual. Nice lad, actually. And you'll be able to hear that interview on Darren Bent's Boot Room on Sunday night. I think sometimes we're guilty of taking the form book a bit too literally. You know, Brighton made a really good start to the season, their best ever in a top flight campaign. They probably weren't playing quite as well as those performances suggested. And I don't think they're playing as badly as their current run of form suggests. But I do think this is a good opportunity against a Leeds side who've lost their way a bit in the Premier League this season to get back to winning ways. And I think they need that just to try and... just to try and ease those fears that the slump will continue.
Leeds, yes, as you mentioned, have only won one of their last five, and that was against Norwich. And they have had injury problems. I mean, I mentioned it on the Sunday podcast. I mean, they started a 19-year-old making his first Premier League start up front. They didn't have Rafinha or Rodrigo last weekend. And, you know, obviously, you're going to struggle when you've got the sort of injuries that Leeds United have had. And you've got a small squad, Darren.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Joel Gelhardt, a very talented boy. He's only 19. He's going to be a bit of a star. But I think overall, Leeds are in a slump. And the fact that they had to turn to him is a measure of just how desperate Marcelo Bielsa is. I think they're in trouble. There's always a big club that goes down. I think it might be them unless they can maybe bring in some urgent reinforcements in the January transfer window. But as far as this game is concerned, I can see them biting the dust again.
I do wonder that big bold claims are catching like a virus, because you've obviously spent too much time with Crook. You relegated Newcastle, who are a pretty big club.
Do you think that's a bold claim, that Leeds could go down?
I think they're vulnerable.
I don't think it's a bold claim now. But the idea that Leeds and Newcastle going down it would rock the Premier League, I think, if Leeds and Newcastle went.
Well, absolutely. I agree with you. But if you look at this Premier League, it's one of the toughest Premier Leagues we've probably ever seen in terms of the strength and depth, in terms of the financial resources available to every team. But the fact is that there are one or two teams that are going on runs of form that are very, very difficult to get out of. And I think Newcastle, it's not rocket science to look at the fact that they haven't won so far this season and believe that it's going to be tough, even though they have all of that money at their disposal. And I think the same goes for Leeds. The way they play, with the intensity that they play at all, they've just not been able to sustain it. So once you lose one or two key people, it then becomes very difficult to retain or to get back the form that you're able to have. And at the moment, they're one of the easiest teams to play against.
Our football editor would be quite happy as EFL rights holders if Leeds and Newcastle ended up in the Championship. It's a bit dull at the moment, isn't it, that division, to be honest?
Yeah, a few more Talk Sport games, I think, for the Championship if those two were to go down. Crystal Palace against Aston Villa is Saturday, 3 o'clock. What a midfield matchup from 2002 this is. Patrick Vieira against Steven Gerrard at Selhurst Park. I think I'm looking forward to this one because both teams full of energy, both teams playing. I mean, look, I thought Aston Villa weren't as good as maybe the scoreline suggested last weekend, but Crystal Palace have been very good. And Christian Benteke against his former club will relish the opportunity to get more goals under his belt.
I'm glad you mentioned him, because I wanted to speak about him on the podcast at the weekend, and with all the goings on at Manchester United and elsewhere, we didn't get a chance. I was with a member of Patrick Vieira's coaching staff a few days ago, and I asked him, how have you turned Christian Benteke back into a goal-scoring centre-forward again? And he said, basically, they looked at his game from the last couple of years and worked out where his goals had come from. And it sounds really simple, but they sat him down and said, look, watch this. Where do you get most of your goals? Inside the penalty area. Why have you spent so much time in recent seasons dropping deep into midfield, trying to be a link man that's not playing to your strengths? Get back in the box. We'll supply you, and you'll score goals. Sometimes football is a simple game.
How long was that edited goal highlights from the last couple of years? About 30 seconds.
Well, they might have gone even further back, you know, to when he was banging
goals
for Aston Villa. But there's always been a player there. We saw it at Villa. I think the way that his confidence was shot away at Liverpool, it's taken him a long time to recover from that. But the two goals he scored last weekend were really quality finishes. And I think he will cause a problem for Aston Villa.
Stevie G off the mark last week with two late goals in their game. What did you think about his impact? I know we haven't had a chance to speak to you about that match, Darren, yet. What did you think about it? I mean, I know that we had a commentator there on Saturday, Nigel Adley, and I was speaking to him about it, and he seemed to think that, you know, the way he held himself on the touchline was pretty impressive. The way he sort of galvanised his team, made changes at the right time, was good for Aston Villa and might be going forward.
You've answered all of the questions right there. I think he did really well that first day at the office. As you said, maybe the performance wasn't as good as it looked at first glance, but the fact is that all that matters is the 3 points. I think his team will play high energy. We saw that he likes to get the fullbacks to push high. We see that he wants his team to play a high energy game. As I said before, the talk is that he wants another fullback, but I think he'll be looking for reinforcements in midfield as well. Defensively, they had a good start as well, but this is going to be very, very tough because Palace do have the firepower. Odson Edouard like anyway. Benteke is running into form, undefeated in their last seven, won two of their last three. I think Palace are going to be tough, but I think Villa will be able to match them. I'm really looking forward to this game.
Liverpool against Southampton is another Saturday, 3 o'clock. Liverpool not full tilt in midweek, especially not in the first half. I was doing a commentary game and Steve Wilson was doing this match for the World Feed, and he came out to me and said to me, Porto should be in front in this match. You would expect that that was the case, really, because Liverpool obviously had already qualified in first place, but they still won 2-0 in the second half. And Mo Salah scoring once again. I think it's 13 now for the season. Konate started in the Champions League. How did he get on? It's taking him a little bit of time, isn't it? But the good news is, I suppose, this year he hasn't been rushed into the starting lineup as he would have been if it was last year, Darren.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's given him a bit of time to find his feet. And, you know, the interesting thing is that he probably will get a few more chances because Liverpool have conceded two or more goals on, I think, six occasions this season. So it's not as if there is a reason for him not to get a chance. And I think I look at the run of fixtures that they've got coming up. And listen, I don't know if he'll play in the Everton game because that's quite high intensity. And if you're a new boy at the office, you might not want to be thrown into that particular mix. But certainly this is the kind of game where you would think he'd maybe get in there and get a chance to get his feet under the table. I like him as a player. I like what Liverpool... Listen, you guys both know what I think, and all the listeners know what I think of Liverpool this season. I think they're much stronger, much better. I think they will win the title. Lots of bold claims this week, but you know my view on Liverpool. They were undone by their defence not being available last time around. This time will be different.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people scrambling to get to their local bookies here because and have Newcastle, Leeds to go down and Liverpool to win the title. Well, that is at some hefty odds, I reckon, for a little three-way. Defeat for Saints last week to Norwich. Yeah, defeat to Saints to Norwich. I'm surprised there probably wasn't more alarm bells ringing over that. And Saints have won just three games all season. And these are the games that they have won. They beat Villa just before they sacked Dean Smith, who are in awful form. They beat Watford 1-0 and they beat Leeds 1-0. I don't like their fixture list between now and the middle of February.
Yeah, but they did get a point in Manchester City and maybe should have won that day. You remember the controversy over the penalty that was given and then harshly taken away by VAR. They got a point.
Did you say we?
They got a point.
He meant we, though.
They got a point at home to Manchester United again when United were playing quite well and Saints should have won that game.
When was that?
And right at the start of the season. And they were unlucky.
Manchester United weren't playing well. They haven't played well all season.
And they were unlucky to lose by a 3-1 scoreline against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. So maybe this is the type of game that will bring the best out of Ralph Hasenhüttl's side. Do I expect them to win? No. But I don't think it will be the foregone conclusion that Sam Matterface, you Southampton hater, and Darren Lewis, you Liverpool lover, are making out.
I don't think either of those two things are true, but I never thought this would be the case, that the arch stirrer in Alex Crook would turn PR man for Southampton Football Club, which he has done over the course of the last 6 months. Quite amazing, really. It's absolutely fascinating. By the way, do you want a statistic? Earlier on, we had a little bit of a debate, and you probably won't hear this because Lucy will be nice to Darren, edit it out. Darren said, oh, no, you know, Newcastle can't survive because no one has ever survived losing their first 12 games of the season. We said, no, Darren, that's not true. Derby County did just that. They got to 13 and we took it out to save face, but now we're bringing it up again. But the reason I'm bringing it up again is because having gone through the Derby fixtures, just to make sure that was the case from 2000, 2001, you're not going to believe this, right? But they didn't win in their first 11 fixtures. Their 12th fixture was against, would you believe this? Would you not going to believe Arsenal. The 12th fixture was against Arsenal. And they drew 0-0 and then went on to win. So maybe there's a bit of synergy there between Eddie Howe's Newcastle and Derby County. And maybe they can actually stay in the Premier League. Maybe after they've drawn 0-0 at Arsenal, they can go on and build a fantastic run of several victories. Anybody else going to subscribe to that? No? No?
I still think Newcastle can stay up. I still think Newcastle can stay up.
Newcastle stay up. Newcastle go down. We'll wait and see. That game is...
What do I think?
I think statistically, you're right to point out that it is very, very difficult to stay up from here. And as someone who has a wee little wager on Newcastle, Burnley and Norwich to go down, I wouldn't be too depressed about it. But I do like Eddie Howe a lot and I'd like to see him succeed. Right, that's it from us. I'll see you on Saturday, 12:30 live from the Emirates Stadium. And Sunday, I'm doing Manchester City against West Ham, the Sunday session coming from the Etihad Stadium as we go around the grounds because there's so many matches on Sunday afternoon. We've also got Brighton against Leeds United. And Crook, what are you doing this weekend?
I'm doing Manchester City against West Ham on Sunday. So I expect to be counting the Manchester City passes once again.
Okay, that's it from us. We're back on Monday morning with a review of a mammoth weekend. Enjoy your football. And this weekend we have it all. Game day Saturday and Sunday for the session as we bring you all the goals as they go in. Have a good weekend.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. Be gambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.